Investor.com Podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Investor.com Podcast, looking at cannabis news, stocks to watch, as well as insights from thought leaders and experts. In today's podcast, we look at early announcements from Aphria Incorporated, trading on the TSX and New York Stock Exchange as APHA, Pharmacyello Limited, trading on the TSX Venture as PCLO and the OTCQX as PCLOF, Aurora Cannabis Incorporated, trading on the New York Stock Exchange and the TSX as ACB, Inner Spirit Holdings Limited, trading on the CSE as ISH, GTEC Holdings Limited, trading on the TSX Venture as GTEC and the OTCQB as GGTTF, as well as Bang Incorporated, trading on the CSE as BHNG and the OTCQX as BHNGF. So, first looking at Aphria Incorporated, who announced that subsidiary Aphria Diamond has secured a credit facility at the end of November with a major Canadian chartered bank as a sole arranger, sole broker runner, and administrative agent on behalf of the group of lenders for the committed secured senior credit facility of $80 million. Aphria has the largest cash balance in the cannabis industry without the dilution of a strategic partner, said Irwin D. Simon. We are pleased to have secured a term loan that will repatriate a portion of our investment in Aphria Diamond to be strategically deployed by Aphria. And this loan strengthens our balance sheet without being dilutive and positions Aphria Diamond for success as we expand into new categories and growth opportunities in cannabis to enhance value to shareholders long term. So since securing its Health Canada license on November 1st, Aphria Diamond is quickly coming to scale, and Aphria Diamond will be 70% planted by midweek with 350,000 young seedlings planted. And with the level of automation and scale of the facility, the company anticipates Aphria Diamond to have one of the lowest cost structures in the industry. And Aphria expects the dried flower production from the first harvest to be sold into provincial control boards sometime in March of 2020. So if you've been paying attention to the Canadian LPs, this is a big issue right now, and the main issue for most of them is getting their cost of production for most of their dried flower down to a reasonable cost, because that's the main thing that's harming sort of the legal market, especially for the Canadian market right now, and is what's booming the illicit market in Canada, is mainly the average cost of your dried flower product. So with Aphria Diamond actually securing that credit loan, they have the ability to keep that production going, and actually that facility to get up to scale in an appropriate time frame. And again, paying attention to any of the other LPs, they're all doing similar type of processes to this, either looking for funding or acquiring funding for the completion of a lot of their facilities right now, as a lot of the market has sort of changed as far as what people are expecting from LPs. Looking next at Pharmacyello Limited, who announced that the company is qualified to trade on the OTCQX Best Market in the United States and has secured depository trust company eligibility. So Pharmacyello I've talked about a bunch. They're one of the main companies coming out of Colombia and Latin America. Their main sort of competitor or biggest competition right now would be Cuida from Chiron Life Sciences. But Pharmacyello focusing a little bit more on the medical market and has a little bit of a different structure as far as for the Latin American markets. And you're going to start to see a lot of them now start to gain a little bit more momentum as a lot of them have actually finished a lot of their facilities and are now starting to have product hitting markets. And a lot of them have also finished getting EU GMP standard qualifications for a lot of their facilities, meaning they can trade into the EU markets and also into the US and Canadian markets. So you're starting to see a lot of those Latin American low producers actually have more of an impact, which means that they might start to be able to uplist or have a little bit more funding or structure to their company. Next, looking at Aurora Cannabis, who announced that one of the company's oil products has now been approved for the use under Ireland's new Medical Cannabis Access Program. So Aurora is one of the few LPs that got into the Medical Access Program in Ireland. It's running as a five-year test program. So commenting on this, Dr. Shane Morris, chief producer of Aphria, said that Aurora is pleased to be able to assist patients who are seeking treatment with high-quality EU GMP good manufacturing practices, certified pharmaceutical-grade medical cannabis in Ireland. We're very proud to be one of the first approved suppliers of medical cannabis under the MCAP, and we want to acknowledge the efforts made by many people, especially the patients and doctors who have campaigned to access to these medicines. And we look forward to more Aurora's high-quality medicines being approved so that more patients can benefit from the MCAP in Ireland. We'll be able to continue to work closely with all parties and state agencies to facilitate further availability. So under the new program, a consultant can be prescribed medical cannabis for patients and under the care who have any of the following medical conditions. So spasticity associated with multiple sclerosis, intractable nausea and vomiting associated with chemotherapy, and severe refractory or treatment resistant epilepsy. So Ireland still has a very limited medical access program, but it's starting to see more products have availability, and it is starting to improve momentum, at least from what I've read about it over the last sort of year. It's gained a little bit more reasonable standards. And also, as far as practitioners in Ireland, they are starting to come around to the idea of actually prescribing medical cannabis for a lot of their patients. So that's hopefully will continue to increase over the next sort of 4 years of the test program. Next, looking at Inner Spirit Holdings, who announced that it's putting its corporate focus solely on Spiritleaf. So in a few of the interviews where we've talked to the different retailers or different companies that have sort of a diversified lending into the cannabis business, we're starting to see now more specification focusing on what they can accomplish as opposed to what needs to be accomplished as the infrastructure of the industry starts to sort of expand. So Inner Spirit Holdings is mainly focused on their Spiritleaf brand for retail. They have over 40 stores right now, most of them based in Alberta, like most of the retail in Canada. A big percentage of it's all in retail. In Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan. They do have a couple stores in BC as well as Ontario. But again, like most of the retailers, a big percentage of their bulk is in those middle provinces where there's a little less population, but there's no limit on the actual licenses that can go out into the market. And again, you're probably going to see this from a lot of the smaller companies or medium-sized companies where they start divesting or getting rid of their non-core assets. So with this company, Inner Spirit Holdings, they're getting rid of Watch It. Which was a retail location focused on basically just selling watches and accessories, which they used as a training facility for their Spiritleaf retail cannabis operations. But now that they have their Spiritleaf cannabis operations fully open, they're getting rid of the Watch It. And again, you're starting to see this with a lot of these companies as them removing non-core assets and focusing on what's the most sort of lucrative short-term solutions. So next, looking at GTEC Holdings, who announced that it's formally launched its recreational adult use brands in the provinces of BC and Saskatchewan. So more premium quality coming out. We set a mandate to produce ultra premium cannabis that's superior to the available selection in the current legal marketplace, produced from exclusive cultivars, said Norton Singavarn, the founder of chairman of CEO of GTEC. This product launch marks a pivotal chapter in our growth and strategy, and we're very excited about our fiscal 2020 year, as we expect to realize significant increases in production, revenue, and gross margins, which we anticipate will drive GTEC into profitability. So this is another big thing that's sort of hampering the Canadian market right now, is the limited access or product SKUs that are available. You're starting to see now more premium and high-grade sort of strains come onto the market, as well as the micro cultivators and companies like GTEC that are more focused on the actual product quality that they're putting out into the market as opposed to the scale of the product that they're putting out. So they're looking for more limited distribution points, focusing on the BC market. Specifically, it is ironic that a place known for its cannabis sort of worldwide, anecdotally before legalization, is now a place that has some of the most limited access for cannabis in Canada. We are starting to see that change, and again, starting to see the actual product SKUs coming onto the market being a little bit more differentiated and a little bit more focused on the actual consumers that are buying and starting to pay attention to what consumers are looking for versus just putting out strains and brands that have sort of social or background appeal. You're starting to see things actually matter of what customers actually are smoking and buying, which is a good thing for BC. And lastly, looking at Bhang Incorporated, who reported its financial and operating results for the third quarter. You can read the link attached in the article if you want to find out more. But over the past decade, Bhang has become one of the most recognized brands in cannabis and has been anchored to a lot of their chocolates. So if you haven't been paying attention to Bhang before, I've talked about them a couple times. But the main reason to pay attention to them and their financial results is they're one of the biggest leading sort of edible brands, both in the US and Canada. They've mainly been focused on the US before. Obviously, Cannabis 2.0 now going to be coming into the Canadian market, so we can see how that brand transfers over from US market to Canadian market. They've also now had new products going into Puerto Rico and into Europe through their CBD products, and also now going into Nevada. So Bhang is definitely one of the sort of main competitors in the edibles space, and sort of the next step of cannabis derivative products. There's still a lot of sort of expectations surrounding the Cannabis 2.0 products without a lot of data or a lot of actual confidence yet. But over the next few months, we'll start to see what the demand is for that second generation of products, if that does bring in new consumers and increase sales the way a lot of companies are expecting it to, or if it stays sort of regular or even just spreads the product SKUs that customers are already buying more evenly. That's all for today's podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week.
That's all for today's podcast. Podcast is now a certified word trademark on the blockchain through Cognate Incorporated CM certification. InvestorIdeas.com podcasts are also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and TuneIn. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor of this podcast, please contact InvestorIdeas.com. Investor Ideas reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the InvestorIdeas.com website, and this podcast is not an endorsement to buy products or services or securities. Investors are reminded that all investments involve risk and possible loss of investment. Investor Ideas does not condone the use of cannabis except where permissible by law. Our site does not possess, distribute, or sell cannabis products.